Welcome to another edition of Healthcare Executive Talks, an educational podcast series from Healthcare Executive Exchange magazine. We're a bi-monthly publication that can be found at healthcareix.com. In each issue, we talk with a variety of healthcare executives and leaders who are implementing initiatives at their organizations from which they're seeing great success and many positive outcomes. And we're going to talk with one such leader in this podcast. She's Kari Olson, Chief Innovation and Technology Officer with Front Porch, which is based in Glendale, California. She's also the president of the Front Porch Center for Innovation and Well-Being. And she has a lot of knowledge to share with us and some very interesting insights about the breakthroughs that are being made with regards to memory support for dementia care patients. Really exciting stuff. Here she is.
Front Porch has a really wonderful brand called Front Porch Summer House that we provide memory care neighborhoods in a number of our communities. And these are really innovative, emerging memory care neighborhoods that are really specially tailored to each community. They're very small, they're secure, they create really open, free lifestyle for people in memory care. They're in a neighborhood concept. They generally have community spaces and private spaces, and then kind of a number of engagement spaces for activities or health or well-being. And what my job is as the Chief Innovation Officer, Chief Technology Officer, and President of the Front Porch Center for Innovation and Well-Being is to really look at where technology can meet needs in the memory care setting and support well-being for the residents that live in memory care and also help the staff provide the best services possible. And in the last year or so, we've done a couple of pilots of some really exciting technologies that we've seen profoundly impact our residents and our operations. The first was to use quiet care technology from Care Innovations, which is a combination of really brilliant sensors that you can put in all aspects of a living situation. They can sense when someone's in bed, when someone's not in bed, when someone's walking different places, like saying going through the threshold of a bathroom a number of times or exiting a residence at night. And what these sensors are combined with are these powerful software algorithms that can, on an individual and personal basis, understand a person's activity patterns and what's normal for them, and then is able to identify when people are acting outside their normal activity patterns. And that's usually a red flag where staff need to pay attention and intervene. And in memory care, you're not always there every second of the day. The staff are nearby, but having the technology be able to tell us, hey, you know, someone's getting up a lot more at night, or they're wandering in a certain place that's not normal for them, or perhaps hasn't gotten out of bed at all very much, or isn't moving very much. All of those are things that allow us to really intervene and ask questions and, you know, catch maybe changes in health or create new interactions that promote better health and well-being. And it's been a very powerful thing for us. Also, it's allowed us to share more deeply with families what their loved ones' day-to-day experience is. It's been a very powerful thing for us. So from there, we also started experimenting with some other interventions. One in particular is an activity-based intervention called SingFit. And what this does is this uses iPods in the memory care setting for music therapy, and it has a special technology built into it that will actually allow you to cue the words of an old favorite song. So when someone's experiencing cognitive decline and maybe those words are not readily available, they actually help people remember the words and kind of participate in singing along with the song. Memory is a very powerful stimulator for reminiscence in folks suffering from cognitive decline, and to be able to just powerfully use this technology, which is readily available and very cheap, to create such a positive experience. There's like a second pilot that we've been running at our Claremont Memory Care, Summer House Memory Care, that has also been really powerful. And then the third example I can give you is the most recent one that's been pretty widely covered in the media now, which is the introduction of Paro into our memory care unit in Cupertino at Sunnyview. And here, Paro, if you're not familiar with him or her, I guess, it's an animatronic seal. It looks like a stuffed animal, but it has five sensors built into it, and it's about the size of, I don't know, what would you say? Well, truly a baby seal. That's the best way to think about it. That's what it is. Okay, and it's something that a person can hug and hold in their lap or set on a table and pet or stroke and interact with. And the seal is amazing in terms of it actually responds to someone speaking to it. It turns its head. It talks back. It moves when you touch it or pet it. It also has aversion responses. So, for example, if you touch its whiskers, he pulls away because he doesn't like that. And what we found in using Paro with our memory care residents is that it pulls people out of their shells. We have a woman named Jock in Sunnyview's memory care that was pretty self-isolating. Despite staff's efforts to engage her, she would really pull away. For her, Paro is everything. We bring out Paro, and she starts talking and interacting and laughing and engaging. And Jock's story is similar to that of what we've seen with other residents. And, in fact, our Sunnyview staff is reporting that using Paro as an intervention, perhaps when someone is upset or agitated, has allowed them to kind of decrease some of their PRN med use and instead use these Paro as kind of the intervention that helps people calm down. And we see similar applications for Paro in other parts of assisted living and in skilled nursing. So those are three powerful examples that we've just recently had about the role technology can play to help people live well in memory care specifically.
How much are you collaborating with these tech companies and research companies?
Oh, it's the name of the game.
Yeah.
It's the way this work gets done.
So everything you're discovering on the job, mm-hmm. you're providing them with as feedback, as data that they can use to improving this technology?
Absolutely. So the way it works is we actually have a specific center of excellence that we formed in Front Porch that does outreach to tech companies. The Center of Excellence is called the Front Porch Center for Innovation and Well-Being. And there, under Davis Park's leadership, who works for me, we actually look around at the needs we see in our organization of the older adults and their loved ones. Where we think technology might play a role, then we reach out to tech companies or they reach out to us and say, here's what we have that might meet those needs. What could we do together to learn about how it could really work? And then the developer of Paro and my Center for Innovation team worked together for a number of weeks to kind of establish the parameters of a pilot, what we would look at, how we would log it, what the process would be, what the time frames would be, who the staff players would be. And we kind of go out and meet with the community and talk about this and further define it. And then we have a specific launch period for the pilot where we go through education and training. Then we go through an implementation period where we make sure staff and the residents are able to adopt the technology. Then we go through a period of watching its performance and evaluating where we do focus groups and interviews. And then we have a formal wrap-up period and a final report. And it's after all of that that we make a decision about whether we're going to continue to adopt the technology and diffuse it to other places.
That's exciting. What you described is already sophisticated. What are the next levels of sophistication that you're expecting to come down the pike in the next 3 to 5 years?
In terms of technology for memory care, I think there's tremendous opportunity there.
I'd say so,
I think one of the biggest challenges, though, I think that the technology solutions need to address is personalization. So making sure that whatever we put in can actually adapt to each person's cognitive situation and personal interests. And so I expect to see more, even though the technologies we're using today, I expect to see them grow in their ability to be personalized and specific to the individual. I think that we're going to continue to see more interventions. I think there's powerful opportunity with music. I think, for example, the work that Dan Cohen and the Music in Memory organization are doing is very powerful. If you've seen that movie that they've recently done about Alive Inside, which really shows the journey of using iPod music therapy with memory care residents, watch it once and you'll be convinced of the power of this. I think that there's some emerging thought about the ability to use the sense of smell to stimulate reminiscence, and I know that there's some early work going on in technologies that can assist with that. There's wonderful technologies emerging, like CareMerge, for example, that actually are going to link families, I think, more closely to their loved ones who are struggling with memory care, and really tighten up the care team relationship, which will all benefit the well-being of the older adults. And then I think there will continue to be a whole variety of, you know, brain health stimulation and engagement technologies, which are critically important to helping people use it and not lose it. So there's a lot of opportunity for developers and for providers, for loved ones, for caregivers, for the healthcare profession to creatively figure out how we can support people while they're in cognitive decline.
So, yes, that's a nice way to segue. My final question for you is about the long-term impact these efforts are going to have on Front Porch's ability to provide services to dementia care patients. So let's go in that direction in our final few minutes.
Well, we see the number of people challenged by dementia or other brain health issues as continuing to grow. The media regularly reports the staggering numbers. We just like the industry works on helping people age in place, and you can't do that and not recognize that dementia care is going to become an age in place issue, not just a locked memory care issue. And so what we hope to learn is how we can really adapt what we do in our summer house secured memory care neighborhoods in other settings so that we can meet the brain health needs of more and more individuals and family members and caregivers. And the only way you can scale that up to as many people as are coming down the pipe that are struggling with these issues is to truly leverage technology to help take the expertise we all have and really apply it to more and more people.
What key message would you want to communicate to those listening to the podcast about the work you're doing from your end with patients?
I think one of the most important things is to always remember to focus on the person. It's really easy to get excited about the bells and the whistles, but all of those are supporting tools. And as long as we all focus first and foremost on the needs of the individual person who's struggling with dementia or other forms of cognitive impairment, that we can be resourceful and creative and kind of come together with personalized solutions, not paint in broad brushstrokes, but really develop things that meet individual needs. The tools are out there. We are the ones that need to be creative about how we apply them through the laser beam focus of how we can impact individual lives. We do that and do that well, we'll make a huge difference in the lives of the people we can serve and support.
And that wraps up another edition of the Healthcare Executive Talks podcast. I'd like to thank Kari Olson for joining us today. She's the Chief Innovation and Technology Officer with Front Porch, which is based in Glendale, California. She's also the president of their Center for Innovation and Well-Being. If you'd like more information on Front Porch, they're doing a lot of great work in healthcare. You can check them out at frontporch.net. That's frontporch.net. You can also check us out at healthcareix.com. There you'll find our archive of past issues. You'll also find these podcasts, along with original website articles. We have one coming up later this week on telemedicine. You can find all of that at healthcareix.com. Our podcast can also be found on iTunes, by the way. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle's @HCIX. Every day we update our Twitter feed with highlights of the interviews we're currently doing with healthcare executives around the country. We also fill you in on the latest healthcare news of the day. Once again, our Twitter handle is the @ HCIX. Thanks so much for listening. Please feel free to share this podcast with your colleagues and to leave us feedback on our website. Until next time, be well.